If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Thank you for listening today. UDocs@gmail.com. Email along the way. That's what we say for our guest segment. We do get emails from our listeners to talk about the topic that our guest is an expert in. For years upon years, Dr. Jeffrey Bland has been on the cutting edge of what they call functional medicine. In fact, he is considered to be the father and face of functional medicine. And his book, latest book is called The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life, published by Division of HarperCollins, HarperWave. Dr. Bland, we're glad you're here today. Let me ask the basic foundation question so that you and Dr. Mike can kind of spread your wings and go a little more deeply into what you're going to talk about. So what is it? What is functional medicine?
Well, thanks, Bill, very much, and it's a pleasure to be with you and Dr. Mike. You know, I think we would say in the soundbite that functional medicine is focused on the reason that people get ill rather than what they have and trying to name and blame it, trying to figure out how they got there and what to do about its cause rather than its effect. So it's a form of healthcare that's really built on what we call systems biology, and it's really focused on trying to understand the own individual's cause of their illness, personalized, and treat the cause rather than the effects.
All right, so your book is called The Disease Delusion. Would an example of that be when I tell my wife I don't feel good, I'm sick, she said it's all in your head? Is that a good example of that or not?
Well, not. I mean, certainly in our head, it's a very important thing, right? Because yeah, it's one of our ways that we assess what's going on in our whole body. So I would not want to dismiss what's going on in our head as unimportant, but I also would want to go beyond that, which we often think of as it being psychosomatic, being not have any substance. If you really look at this whole construct that we're developing, this revolution in thinking in the 21st century about healthcare, we're going beyond the model of the 20th century that diseases were caused by a single agent, like an infectious bug, which was a major breakthrough in our thinking, you know, the turn of the last century, and led to immunotherapy and antibiotics. Certainly was a very useful tool in increasing life expectancy and reducing child mortality and all sorts of things. But the diseases we have today are much more complex. They're chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease and dementia and arthritis, for which there's not one single cause. It's not caused by one infective organism. So in this case, we're going to need another revolutionary breakthrough in how we both diagnose and treat these conditions. And fortunately, that's at hand. That's the revolution that we've seen over the last 20 years. It's the genomic revolution, and it's telling us how we can actually make our genes perform effectively for us and produce health rather than disease.
All right, let's bring in Dr. Mike Roizen.
So we got into this pretty deep in the weeds, if you will, Dr. Bland. So let me come back. Why do you, and try and, if you will, elaborate on that, since we've gotten a whole bunch of emails now on this. What do you mean by disease is a delusion? There's someone who writes, I had, if you will, Clostridium. I had C. difficile, she wrote. That's a real disease. I got cured of it by an unusual treatment, but I had a real disease, didn't I? What does he mean by it's a delusion?
Oh, thank you. I think the title of the book certainly sounds like an oxymoron. I mean, we all know there are diseases. There's no question about it. But the question really, the delusion about the disease is somehow that this disease was passed down as a inherited factor from our parents, because our father had heart disease, our mother had breast cancer, our uncles had arthritis, our grandmother had dementia, that we kind of have felt that these diseases are passed down, these chronic diseases are passed down through the lineage, and it's kind of an inevitability. There's not much we can do about it. And that's a total delusion. You know this, and you've talked about it for years in your books and in speaking. We recognize that probably no more than 25% of the cause of our chronic diseases that we have as we grow older are direct tied, linked to our genes. 75% are linked to what our genes are bathed in, our experiences, our diet, our lifestyle, our environment, which then sends signals to our genes to express certain outcomes that we later call diseases. So this construct that we are inevitably going to get a disease is really, I think, a fallacy. And that's the delusion. There's tremendous amounts of opportunity for each of us to turn on our bliss genes, the genes that are associated with good health and long life, and silence our genes that we call our alarm genes that are associated with the production of these diseases.
Let me just follow up on that because it's almost scary how much disease we have now. Is the story out in the recent past was that 40% of Americans will have type 2 diabetes by the year 2040, and the genetics associated with it, there was a statement that probably 65 to 70% of Americans have a predisposition to type 2 diabetes, but clearly that isn't inevitable. How do you reconcile? Are we going to get to 70%? Will the food in our society cause all of us to get there? How will we stop that?
Well, I thank you. I wish I was omniscient enough that I could completely answer that, but I'll give an opinion, which I think is at least an educated opinion. If you look at what's happening in China right now, in 1990, I was invited to speak at Hong Kong University Medical School. And I chose to speak on a grand rounds basis on type 2 diabetes. And after my talk, the dean of the medical school came up to me and said, "Dr. Blaine, that was a very interesting presentation. You were very well prepared. It was very interesting, entertaining, and enlightening. But, you know, we just don't have diabetes like that in Asia, in China. It's not something that we deal with." In 2000, what was it? I guess it was 2009, so that would be 19 years later, so almost 20 years later, I was invited back to speak at the same medical school. It's a different dean, but this time they asked me specifically, would I speak on type 2 diabetes because it was epidemic. Now, that's 20 years. The genes in the Chinese people did not change in 20 years. What changed was their environment, and we've seen this in the series of articles that appeared in the Lancet magazine, a medical magazine, over the last couple of weeks, as to the rising tide of in China, where there will be more diabetics in China alone than there are in the rest of the world combined. If you take China, India, and Brazil, and you start in the Mideast, and you start looking at the relative increase in type 2 diabetes, it's truly being modeled like an epidemic, like an infectious illness. And it's not infectious. It's caused by the adoption of lifestyles which are not consistent with these individuals' genetic strengths. And so when you start exposing any one of us to an environment where our genes are not, we don't see it as a friendly exposure. We see it as a hostile exposure, like a foreigner invading us. Our body does exactly what it should do. Our genes turn on our alarm mechanisms, our defense mechanisms, which produces inflammation, it produces alarm, and that starts attacking our body. The collateral damage of that response chronically, 24/7, 365, is what gives rise to the diabetes, the heart disease, the cancers, the arthritis. And these are all preventable by matching a person's diet and lifestyle with their own genetic needs. Personalization. The food of one is not necessarily it could be the poison of another. So we have to find the right approach for the individual to allow their genes to express the bright light of good health, which is inherently possible.
Now, the question comes up, and this is a listener who has sent questions before, so I'll tell you that she's very, very smart. Says, what about our bacteria inside our gut? Doesn't this cause us to eat more, or aren't these causing us to eat more? And maybe it's just the bacteria, their genetics, that are causing us to eat more and thus develop diabetes, and we've changed what we've eaten and the bacteria inside our gut so much that we're destined to eat so much.
Dr. Michael, let's take a break, and Dr. Bland will answer that question coming up at a break. We're up against a hard break. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Jeffrey Bland, the book is called The Disease Delusion, from HarperCollins. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Royston on Radio MD. Stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now, there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient Smart Ship program and cover the first low shipping and handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Jeffrey Bland, his book is called The Disease Delusion, Conquering the Causes of Chronic Illness for a Healthier, Longer, and Happier Life. From HarperCollins, let's get you back to Dr. Mike Royson.
So, Jeffrey, where we were was this person who had written in and said, isn't it the change in bacteria that's forcing me to overeat and thus get type 2 diabetes?
Well, I think that's a tremendous question from an obviously a well-informed listener, but this begs the old proverbial additional question, chicken and egg. You know, why are the bacteria in the intestinal tract in such a configuration, in such a population to create increased risk to diabetes or increased risk to obesity? And we've been studying this actually now for over 10 years. We have a colleague that we've done collaborative work who arguably was one of the first people, his group, his research group at Catholic University Louvain in Belgium, to make the discovery and publish the relationship between gut bacteria and obesity. His name is Patrice Connie, and he works with his colleague Nathalie Delzin, and they published over 100 papers in the last few years in this area of how the microbiome, this very rich, diverse community of bacteria that live in our intestines, there, as we all know, many more bacterial cells in our intestines than there are human cells in our whole body. They're very small, so they don't weigh as much, but they are, in number, very metabolically active. And it turns out that there are two families of bacteria out of the really hundreds of different species that live in our intestinal tract that appear to be predominant. And these are the so-called Bacteroides species and our family and the Formiculae family. And the ratio of those two, one to the other, appears to have a significant impact on metabolic function in the whole of our body. And so as the Formiculae goes up and the Bacteroides goes down, there's a correlation with increased obesity, increased inflammation, increased diabetes. And then the question is, well, were we just born to have those kind of bacteria in our intestines, or are they modifiable? And the answer is absolutely they're modifiable. In fact, this paper that was published in Nature magazine, a very prestigious journal, about 6 months ago, showed that within 48 hours of changing diet, we start to actually change the kinds of bacteria that live in our intestinal tract. So if we start traveling internationally and we are in a different environment, eating different foods, exposed to different agents, the population of these bacteria in our intestinal tract will change concomitantly. And that's why some people will claim that they never had any problem with digestion or never had any problem with being obese until they traveled back from some country where they seem to pick up a bug in their intestines that they just can't get rid of, and it produces chronic symptoms. So the question, do we get fat as a consequence of the bacteria that live in our intestine, or does our lifestyle and our environment cause bacteria to then populate our intestines, which then contribute to this? I think it's the latter. I think it's the latter because we can demonstrate from controlled studies with animals and human intervention trials that have been published that we can alter those bacteria with appropriate diet and lifestyle, and that will alter the outcome of obesity and inflammation and diabetes.
I should say right now that if one wants more information on this, there is a website you can go to in addition to getting the book. This is a wonderful book, The Disease Delusion. The website is Personalized Lifestyle Medicine Institute, but it's PLM, just the first initials, institute.org, PLMinstitute.org. I should also tell you that functional medicine is coming and opens on September 23rd at the Cleveland Clinic, so feel free to schedule that as well if you haven't if you want to find a physician who can help you with that. Since we're nationwide, there is also a website for functional medicine. It's www.functionalmedicine.org, and you can get a physician referral for that. Jeffrey, there's a number of questions about how do you change, then, the microbiome?
Well, I think that's a really great question. I had the privilege, actually, of meeting a gentleman by the name of Marcel Rubofois, who was the first investigator to, and this was about 35 years ago, that he published the first papers on specific types of dietary principles that would modify the population and the types of bacteria that live in our intestinal tract. And he called these prebiotics, and prebiotics were substances that would feed the friendly bacteria and hopefully help to starve out the unfriendly bacteria that live in our intestinal tract. And he did extensive amounts of research on these different kinds of prebiotics that are a whole different classes of them, which I won't go into the technical details. But the one that really stood out that people are probably familiar with is a substance called inulin, I-N-L-U-N. Inulin is a very, very interesting non-metabolized carbohydrate. You find it as a fiber material in like beets, for instance, sugar beets and in chicory. And inulin is a very good food, it turns out, for the friendly bacteria. And so we call it a prebiotic because it helps to stimulate the probiotics of the friendly bacteria. And there is no question at all. We've done extensive studies and published them over the last 20 years in humans who have been supplemented with inulin, showing that it will improve the ratio of the Bacteroides to the Firmicutes and have a favorable effect on their microbiome. One has to start fairly low if you're going to use inulin, because if your intestinal bacteria are imbalanced, if you give too much of it, it can produce some gas and some irritation of discomfort of the intestinal tract. So we normally recommend starting off at about 500 milligrams a day for the first few days, and then going to a gram, and eventually working up to 2 to 3 grams a day as a dietary supplement. It's a fiber powdered material. It's tasteless, and it can be added into virtually anything without producing a taste. And it absolutely is remarkable for people who have conditions like chronic irritable bowel syndrome, or they've got gut inflammation, or they've got reflux, esophageal reflux type symptoms, and for people even who have systemic inflammation, like various forms of joint pain and arthritis. Remarkably, by improving the bacterial friendliness in our gut, it produces the stabilization of our immune system and lowers our inflammation. So I try to give this recipe, this formula in the Disease Delusion, a chapter on gastrointestinal function, but it truly is one of the ways that one can assist getting friendly bacteria back in balance.
I'm going to try and get one last question in. We've only got about 30 seconds. Tell us about the energy plants of our the energy powerhouse of our cells, our mitochondria.
Yeah, the mitochondria are really powerhouses that produce all of our energy for everything that we do. They take the food and convert it to energy. And what we've found, or what has been found by many scientists over the last 25 years, is that if you are run down and you have poor quality nutrition, you don't have any activity or exercise, you're exposed to toxins, you're overdosing with alcohol or various medications, that all of those things can unplug your mitochondria. And you get into this concept of chronic fatigue, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, foggy brain syndrome. These are all places where your body needs more energy.
So we'll have to come back. This is the Disease Delusion. Jeffrey Bland, B-L-A-N-D.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Antioxidants. You've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants. They destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage. And eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.